Alright fellas, we're live. My name's Alex, I'm from the Tripod, and once again, we'll be breaking down every single game of the NRL round from a betting perspective. I'll be joined by Jacob once again. I'll wait for him to get on, but last week, disappointing week last week, we did have a losing round, but once again, you got to remember, this is punting, anything can happen, and just to give you guys an idea, we have only had two losing rounds this season out of six rounds, and last year we didn't have back-to-back losing rounds all season long, so if there's any week we're going to bounce back, it's going to be this one. Just get Jacob in, won't be a tick. So I guess if you do want to get into our private group and get all our tips, our free tips, then just message our page. It's called Punters Pod. The link is in the description to this video. We also release all our bets and our multis on our social medias. That's Instagram and Twitter, tripod_betting. And you can also get all our tips and our multis on our website, www.tripodbetting.com. Jacob, how are you, mate? I'm actually excited for this week, despite last week's debacle.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Sorry, I've been in an absolute frenzy trying to find some special bets that we can release on this pod. It gets harder every single week. As people know, we've got a group, and so often people will preemptively give out plays that we might like the look of. I was thinking to myself, like, why are we only at around 57, 58% this season compared to last year? As you mentioned, we had a rare losing round last week. And you do soul searching. Are we doing something different? I don't think we are. I think one thing you'd have to say is how well we did last year, going 65% on 400 odd plays all through the season was just ridiculous. And it's going to be hard to emulate. Another is that some of the markets that we used to crush last year aren't there. We basically shut down Luxbet. William Hill's next one probably out the door. They've got markets missing this year that they used to have, like time of try markets and first half try markets. And then the other one I'd say is just round six is, six rounds into the books. It's early days. We're still making profit well and truly. I think, the record right around 57, 58% for the season. So we can pick it up from here.
Yeah, and let's be realistic. Like I said last week, I mean, we were running, or we still are, running an overall clip of 60%. Which, over 4 years is absolutely unheard of. I mean, like I said last week, people pay $100 a tip to people that tip 55%. And we've been tipping 60% for 4 years. So I don't think it's necessarily anything we're doing wrong. It's just bringing down the very high standards we've set for ourselves slightly. But in saying that, even though last week was a disappointing round, and we even said on last week's pod, we did not like the look of this round. We didn't have as many bets on last week's round as we did, for previous rounds. But in saying that, I actually really like this round, and I think I'll have some gems that you'll like as well, mate.
Yeah, we did say that, and when we didn't give out as many plays. Last round might have been the round with the least plays we gave out. We tried to be selective. It just wasn't our day or our week, but that's okay. We're going to be back this week. As you said, 60% for 4 years we've gone into. Just like give some people some perspective, I can make it really simple for you. People wonder, can you make a living betting? And how about you look at it like this? If you made an average of 5 bets per weekend, so you just took our 5 best plays, and we usually give out 20 plus, if you could win at 60%, which we have for 4 years, that means you're winning 2, you're losing 2, pretty much cancelling out, and you're winning that fifth one. And out of, say, 5, and I'm not telling people they should bet $2,000 per play, but just as an example, pretty much every bookie will take a $2,000 bet. If you could bet 5 $2,000 bets per round, and you're winning 1 extra out of every 5 than you're losing, your profit margin's like $1,500 a round, and that's on average. There'll be rounds where you go 5-0, 4-1, and there'll be the occasional 2-3 if you're winning at that clip. $1,500 a week tax-free is a full-time wage. How many months or years you can continue to get those size bets down with every bookie, as we found, is another story. But certainly, like that rate, you will clean up if you're disciplined with your money management.
Yeah, exactly. And like we've said in the past, I mean, people ask us all the time, like, could you make money betting professional sports, professionally as a full-time job? And we always say, yes, you could, if you could get down every bet that you wanted to get down. But like you said, the issue for us is, well, we're basically banned off every single Australian bookie. We pretty much banned on every Australian bookie. So we can't get the bets down that we want to. But we still give them out for you lads, and dead set, most of our followers, to be fair, are betting, between $10 and $100 on a game. And most of the time, you're not going to get banned betting that sort of money. So you guys should be fine. And as long as as long as we're winning your money in the long haul, whether it's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars or you know, a couple of hundred bucks over the weekend, then we're doing our job. But
folks following us who have been banned as a result of following us, which is kind of bittersweet, I suppose. I mean, at least if you're banned, it's because you're taking them to the cleaners. So you can't complain too much about that. And we've got to compare it to what most punters are doing. Most punters aren't making money, let alone breaking even. So if you're being banned for winning too much from a bookie, then, you know, that's a good problem to have. And hopefully we have that problem again this weekend.
Yes, I really like the look of this weekend. Thursday night, we got the Doggies hosting the Roosters. The Doggies are 6-point dogs, and 40.5 is the total.
And we did reviewed round 6. So we spoke about every single game. So we don't want to talk too much about last round, but I did say that Dogs' result up in North Queensland was the most shocking for me, because North Queensland had to throw the kitchen sink at them there, but they were just, you know, they were absolutely outclassed. The Cows, and they were far too good for them. And that's something you can expect from the Doggies, is max effort and to get into a grind. And they're not going to let their opposition have anything easy. But I think that they don't have a talent level and enough kind of match winners when their opposition does bring it. And in this case, we've got the Roosters off a loss with a longer turnaround here. You have to believe that the Roosters will play well. We also spoke about how strange their effort was against the Bunnies, how easily they were opened up. And one of the reasons was missing Takiaho in the middle, and he's probably not going to be there for this one either. Named on an extended bench, but with a knee injury and not in the 17, we can't rely on that. But having said that, I would still look to play the Chooks, just because how they've got 3 losses already, right? I don't think they want a losing record after 7 rounds with the amount of talent they've got. They still must be too good for the Dogs. And you mentioned the line of -6, but there are a couple of -5s out there. -5 on Ladbrokes, for example. We could take that tonight if you agree.
I think we should take it. I've got written down -5.5 on Lads. I think it is actually the only one still there. But it's a funny one. You like taking, we've said this all season, you like taking a good team off an absolutely embarrassing loss, which we have in the Roosters. You also like taking a good team off a loss when they've got a lot of time to prepare and just have a lot of time to stew over what a shit game they played last Thursday. So I like that. I like the Dogs off a win. You're getting a little bit of added value. I think if the Dogs had lost and the Roosters would have won, this line could have easily been close to double digits. Also, like you said, Dogs short turnaround. They've only got a 5-day turnaround. Also travelling from Townsville, that's a tricky one. You have revenge from round 2 for the Doggies. But in saying that, I think the Roosters aren't going to be complacent. Like you said, they're only 3-3. I think we take the Roosters -5.5. I think they get the job done and it could be a blight.
Lock it in.
Next up, we've got the Warriors, the top 2. Warriors hosting the Dragons over in New Zealand. Warriors are +1.5 points and 40.5 the total.
And for the last couple of weeks, we've had our eyes, you know, finger on the pulse, look, staring at the schedule every single week, which is going to be the week that the Dragons let up. You know, a team that was not necessarily seen as a top 4 side before the season, playing like, you know, the best team in the comp week after week, and you're just expecting a letdown spot, and it didn't come for the Dragons, but it did come the very next day for the Warriors. Definitely their worst performance of the season against the Broncos, and you will give the Broncos credit, and we knew that they'd bring it at Mount Smart, but that was disappointing, especially defensively by the Warriors. So now, how do they back up? We've spoken about how they are a confidence side. Now, this side is basically full strength. They're at home. There are no excuses here. But the Dragons are also full strength. And I do think this could be a cracking game. And, you know, we would both probably agree the Dragons are the slightly better side. But the spot screams out to play New Zealand. You know, they really have belief this year that they can make noise this season. And they've got the ability to do it. I think on paper, the two sides are pretty evenly matched. I would give the edge in the back line actually to New Zealand and the edge in the forwards to the Dragons. But if you can get a couple of points in New Zealand, that would be the only side I could look to in what could be one of the games of the round.
Yeah, certainly the game of the round, or one of at least. Gun to my head at the current line, 1.5. I think I still take Warriors, but I do think we're not in any hurry for this one. I think that money's only going to flow for the Dragons, especially from the public. They haven't, you know, punters haven't lost money with the Dragons all season long, whereas with the Warriors, the punters lost big last weekend because a lot of the public was on the Warriors. And they'll be quick to fall off the Warriors train, that's for sure. But like we've said, Warriors still 5-1, Very, very good home ground advantage. They've been at home in New Zealand now for 3 weeks straight. I think that's a big advantage, not having to travel in between games. And I do think we'll get a 2 or 2.5 with the Warriors later on in the week. Tomorrow or Friday morning. And at that point, I'll jump in. But at the current line, we'll probably leave it and see where the line goes.
Yeah, and like as you said, punters haven't lost on the Dragons yet. But if you go back the last couple of weeks, there were games against the Bunnies where they could have lost, and a very misleading scoreline when they lost by 20 to the Sharks, where the Sharks lost half their team and missed opportunities. I said that New Zealand are fully healthy, but I kind of forgot. I mean, they named Carter.
Your favourite player, mate.
Yeah, my favourite player, Solomon Akata, but he was meant to be missing a month with an ankle injury, so you kind of have to assume that he won't play, and that would also lead into maybe getting a juicier line on the Warriors.
Absolutely. Then next up, another barn burner. The Broncos are hosting the Storm at Suncorp. Broncos are 3.5-point dogs and 39.5 the total.
Yeah, so impressive by both of those teams. Two of the best wins last week. And the Storm are getting healthier again. You know, well, they've picked Riley Jackson. He obviously had a really good game, and he'll be even better for the run last week. And you've got guys like Kaufusi, Felice Kaufusi, now back in the starting side. Will Chambers comes back from suspension. And I do love when a star player comes back from suspension, because they're not, you know, rough from injury or, you know, like match fit. They're going to be raring to go, and they're fresh, and he's going to boost them. I know not everyone's a fan. People say he's a ball hog, but he's a great defensive player, a rep player. Into us already stacked team, and the Storm is the side I have to look in this game. Brisbane were very brave and very impressive to go and win against New Zealand, but can they back it up again? You know, it's that injured player theory where they lost Gillette, you know, a couple of days before kickoff. The news came out that he has that neck injury, and they did not miss him, but longer term you are going to miss an international level second rower in a team like that where they don't have the strongest forward pack. So to me, getting the Storm -3.5, they're not going to be afraid playing at Suncorp. We saw a couple of years ago they won by 50 odds. So I would take the -3.5. It's widely available. There are even fours in places, but we may not have to take it tonight, but I would definitely look to the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, I'd take 3.5. And I'd say my one concern, but it's not too much of a concern to me, is that thunderstorms predicted for the game. So that would make it a little bit lower scoring. But I actually do think that the Storm forward pack is better than the Brisbane forward pack. And generally in wet weather, that's what matters. So I'm not afraid to lay the 3.5 with the Storm. I think, you know, people look at last week and they say, well, the Storm blew out the Knights, but everyone knows the Knights are shit. Whereas they look at Brisbane, oh, fuck, they beat the Warriors top of the table. That turns some heads. But I'll tell you what else matters is that travel is gonna weaken them a little bit. That's, you know, these are all the 1-2 percenters that matter when you're betting on lines, and I think that's gonna hamper them a little bit. I do have some bets for you, mate, and I'm gonna run them past you. Let me know yes or no. I think we should take the Storm straight up in a 2-way market for the first half, $1.80 on CrownBet.
Take it.
Then I like, with the weather especially, thunderstorms predicted. Both teams like to take the two. Good defences. We can get 8 minutes or later. First try, $1.82 on lads.
Lock it in.
And I have fucking found a gem, mate. I've gone above and beyond here, mate. We can get a mechanical try line under 7. We're taking under 6.5 match tries at $2.20 on Sportsbet. And you're going to put 40% of your stake on that. And you're taking under 7.5 tries on Sportsbet at $1.67. And you're going to put 60% of your stake on that. So essentially, you're getting $1.88 odds if there's less than 7 tries. And you get your money back if there's more than 7 tries. Oh, yeah, sorry, if there's 7 tries exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I did want to say as well, I would definitely like the unders in this game. Both teams really good defensively. And, you know, and tomorrow when we look through every market, we'll give out more plays and we'll probably look for the best possible Brisbane under as well, because playing Storm opponents under makes money when the Storm are on. But yeah, that was a confusing one, but I can repeat it really quickly. Go on to Sportsbet, look in their total tries markets, the alternate tries markets, and play 40% stake on under
6.5
and 60% stake under 7.5 tries, and you can only lose if there's 8 tries. I know that you need a bloody maths degree to bet on that one, but it's harder and harder to find value in the NRL, so we're going to work a bit harder.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And they keep taking, people keep shutting down, or sites, we keep shutting down sites like Luxbet, which had some of the best markets that we used to make money on. So got to dig a little deeper. Next up, Rabbits are hosting, well, not hosting the Raiders, it is neutral venue Central Coast, and the Rabbits are 4-point favourites, 44.5 the total.
And we often say that when you've got these neutral venue games, that your average punter doesn't know that. In their, you know, on their app, it often doesn't say where the venue is, or they don't link that to who's actually got home field advantage. Then they will usually assume that the team listed first is playing at home. And sometimes when it's not the case and they're not getting that advantage, and Canberra, yes, you know, both sides have to travel, then you may pick up a bit of edge on the side that's listed as away when it's really a neutral venue. And you know what, we've mentioned about, you know, teams with confidence versus desperation and versus overconfidence. And I think Raiders, after having four losses on the trot to start the season, but now rebounding with two wins, both really good performances, they will not be complacent coming into this game. 2-5 is still a really tough place to be, but you pull back to 4-3 and your season is well and truly alive. So as much as we love the Rabbits and they're going to get back Sammy Burgess, which will improve them even more, they're still probably missing Cam Murray, and people don't really understand how good he is. So I would only look to the Raiders. I think +4 is a good line. I'll run one by you. We can take the Rabbits to not score 3 unanswered tries. That was actually posted in the group earlier today, and I checked before. It's still there. That's on Bet365. And, you know, when you've got Adam Reynolds, if the Rabbits score 3 unanswered tries, that's probably 18 straight points. And if they do that, they're probably covering a 4-point line. So I really like them to not score 3 unanswered tries. If you agree with that, we'd locked up it in as
like
a best
it.
Bet. And like maybe take the Raiders, go back to the well that served us well for the first 4 weeks, or at least the first 3 weeks. Take the Raiders in the first half, +2.5 points, because
like
they've got big boys that get a bit tired at the end, as we've seen, but they can get in a battle with anybody. So that's +2.5 first half is on Crown.
Like it, mate. And I think going along to echo your sentiment, I kind of lean Raiders as well. I do actually really like the under as well. I think that, you know, the Rabbits, what I do like about the unders in this game, for both teams, I guess, is Rabbits have got the extra rest. They're coming off a Thursday night game. And I do not only like just, you know, fresher legs, because that tends to help you a bit more in defense than offense, but a bit more time for defensive schemes, that kind of thing. And you saw with the Raiders last week, they didn't blow the Eels off the park. They won 18-2. That's not a Raiders team that we knew from last, or 2 years ago when they were crushing it. That's solid D. And they've gone back to, you know, just standard stuff, just back to the basics, play good defense, put in, and 3 tries will get you there. So I actually really like the under. You can get under 45.5 on Will Hill. It's 44 elsewhere, but that's quite good. And also, I really like under 22 in the first half. It's pretty much 20.5, 21.5 everywhere else, but getting that extra half a point, if you have 3 tries and 3 of them converted, at least you'll get your money back rather than losing. I actually really like those two bets.
Let's take that. So under 45.5 on Will Hill, I'll take that one. I think that these are both sides that believe they're top 8. When you get two good teams in a good, like, close match, that's going to trend to the unders. And where can we get the under 22? We'll give
same,
that one out.
Same on Will Hill.
Couple more best bets for the boys. They'll and someone actually posted in our group, they've been keeping a record the last 3 weeks where well, we're, you know, somewhere around 57% on our best bets, but we're hitting close to 80% on plays that we release live on the pod. So, you know, they're our favourite ones that don't always last long. So it pays to listen live if you can.
Absolutely. Another neutral venue game. We've got the Tigers playing the Knights in Tamworth, of all places. The Tigers are 4.5-point favourites and 41.5 the total.
Yeah, and, you know, what can you say about the Tigers?
Ooh, someone said it's 22.5 first half on Will Hill.
Well, there you go. Even better.
Yeah, we'll take that. Do you have your lappy on you? Can you check?
Oh, mate, it's going to take a while to fire it up. But if we can get that, either way, we're taking under 22 on Will Hill. If it happens to be 22.5, it's even better. So people can let us know. Yes, and look, the Tigers have been really impressive, right up there with the Dragons. It's just bringing it every single week. And they bring back their captain, one of their 7 captains anyway. Yep. Elijah Taylor into the team. They didn't miss a beat last week. He's been out for like 3 weeks, but they lost Russell Packer before the game last week, and it didn't seem to matter. They're dominating. They've got such great team spirit. They'll be missing Chris Lawrence, but you bring in a guy like Suasu Su, who's a stud outside back, back rower, and had a really strong up and coming back row. And there's guys like Chris McQueen and Timmy Grant and Lola Haya, and not to mention Reynolds, who got injured again, that can't get a game with this side. So you absolutely have to respect the Tigers. But there's absolutely no value betting on them at this stage. We've missed our kind of spot on the bandwagon, I think. And you either have to pass or take the opposition. Do you want any part of the Knights after a really poor performance on a Friday night against Melbourne? Maybe they're getting back Mitch Barnett. That's going to bolster their forward pack. Look, I do think the Tigers would, you know, rightfully be favoured in this game and could win it. But, you know, you can get the Tigers to not score three unanswered tries. That's basically, once again, on 3-6-5. And that would basically just be relying on the Knights to make a game of it. So that would be a play I would like in this one.
Yeah, I don't mind that one, actually. I don't love the game. I pretty much liked most of the games this week, just not this one. And I have not got a play written down for this one. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's just like I don't want to play on the Tigers. They have played very solid. And they've just put in week after week after week, just complete sets. They're not flashy. They don't have that much talent, but they just complete their sets and let the other team self-destruct. So I'm not getting any line value on the Tigers because they're fucking 5-1. However, I don't really want to play the Knights either away from home. We have said that, you know, the Knights are a much better team at home than away. And I know this is a neutral venue game, but that's, you know, as good as being away for the Knights when you don't have all the home fans. They're going to travel there. I think you mentioned Brock Lamb dropped, but I mean, he has been very, very average this year. He was actually not horrible last year, but he has been just a nobody this year. So we'll see how Cogger goes in the halves there. But I don't want too much of a part in this game unless I can get some outlying numbers. But at this stage, at the current lines, I'm staying away. This is a game I love, though. We've got the Cows hosting the Titans. We've got the Cows minus 4.5 points and 43.5 the total.
Yeah, so I mentioned already that was the most head-scratching match of the round for me. It really felt strongly that North Queensland would handle the Bulldogs. So really, like, looking at that game, trying to understand why that didn't happen. And one of the big reasons is the play of their halves. I mean, it's really sad to watch Jonathan Thurston. His body is failing him. And, you know, you do wonder if against the betterment of the team, he is playing through injury, just knowing it's his last season and just knowing the passion that he has for the club and the love that he has for the sport. He is hobbling every game. And yeah, you really do wonder. And you want to trust the club staff that he wouldn't be out there if he couldn't go. But, I mean, he's struggling to take conversions. He's struggling to tackle. He's got a shoulder, a groin. So you have to factor that in. If you're going to put your hard-earned money on the Cows, you are not getting the Thurston of old, unfortunately. But another guy who we're not seeing anywhere close to his potential is Morgan, of course. And we've said the same thing for the last couple of weeks. I know he didn't play the first couple of games of the season with an ab injury. And whether that's still hampering him, it's hard to tell, or whether he just doesn't know how to play alongside JT. So that's hard. But, you know, despite all that, I have to still believe in the same troops that got all the way to the grand final last year. You've got Lockie Coote for his second game back this year. You still have a very strong forward pack, and it should be too much for the Titans, who they will get Ryan James back. They will probably be better than they were against Penrith, but you lost Dale Copley, who's an underrated defensive centre. You lost Nathan Peets, who played Origin last year. That's a team that can't afford to lose two quality players. It's up in North Queensland. We think their home field is worth around 3 points. These two teams, to me, are not even. We started the season, the Cowboys the best team in the comp and the Titans the worst team in the comp. And I know that they've both probably gotten closer together in our mind than they began the season, but there's a class difference here. The Cowboys must be too good. Let's take minus 4.5. It's widely available, and we'll have probably a couple more plays on the Cows too.
Yeah, and harping on to a point that you said, I think, on a previous pod, you know, you look at the form of a team this year, and if they've been absolutely horrible, but they were good last year, it's probably somewhere in between there. And I feel that way with the Cows. They have been putrid this year. But let's not forget, they made the grand final without Matt Scott and Thurston last year. So they're probably somewhere in between there. The Titans have been doing quite well this year. I think they've been overperforming. They've only played one home game all season. That's a lot of traveling for a team like that. And they've actually put in some big games, like against the Broncos.
What do you want the Titans to play at home? We've got awesome events that have to happen in that stadium, like the Comm Games closing ceremony. I mean, you've got to have these magical events so people can pay money and go watch that, mate. So you've got people want to see the finishes. So, I mean, the Titans can play in Gladstone for all I care, or Toowoomba.
Absolute debacle that Com Games was. You know what else I think is quite an imperative point for this one? Paul Green just signed an extension until 2021. I think the players love him. I think they're going to get a bit of a boost from that, knowing that he's going to be with the club for another 4 years. I really like the Cows. I think they're the superior team by far. They just haven't showed us that yet. But even so, like you said, they're a 3.5, 3-point home advantage. They are not. This line should be, we were talking about this earlier on, this line should be closer to 8 or 10, not 4.5. I think this is the biggest line mistake of the round. And we'll be all over the Cows. But this line's fairly prevalent. I'm sure we can look out tomorrow and find a lot of juicy numbers that we'll release in the group as well.
Well, let's lock in -4.5 at the very least, because I've seen that getting in places. So grab it where you can. It's, I mean, it's pretty much on every bookie. One or two may have gone to a flat six. So don't play the -6. Play -4.5.
Yeah, you know what as well, for you guys that are watching, I'm pretty sure we don't take anything under $1.80, but you guys can. And you can get Cows, I'm pretty sure, -3.5, I think it was, $1.77 on Will Hill. That's almost better. So if you go on there and search in the alt lines, you can get a -3.5 at $1.77. Next up, we got the Eels hosting the Sea Eagles. The Eels are 4-point dogs at home and 41.5 the total.
Did you see the story today that Jackson Hastings has been stood down? And I watched the whole...
what a fall from grace.
With Barrett trying to figure out what happened, did some digging. So it's a bit mysterious, but it sounds like he got in a fist fight with Cherry Evans, which is just, it is funny, really, what's happened to that club.
Who doesn't want to play Cherry today? There's a few.
Well, that's true. But, you know, that's the club that, the last club that could afford to stand a player down. They literally can barely afford to bring in reserve graders on minimum contracts with, you know, their salary cap sanctions. They've lost blokes for the season already. Lussick went off to play for the Wolfpack, and he's probably happy with anyone. Even Nate Miles is on the books for them, and he's long gone. So it's tough, and they're not full strength. Well, they're a club that is really struggling with their depth. And, look, they'll be better this week with another week under Turbo's belt back from his ankle injury, another week under the belt for Dylan Walker. And, look, they may very well win this game because we spoke on Sunday about how the Eels are trying but just cannot put it together and cannot kind of cause problems for the opposition defence. Their attack is so poor this season.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense when we've seen the individual abilities of your Corey Normans, your Mitchell Moses, even, dare I say, Jared Hayne. You've got Kim Guthrie back. These guys at times have lit the NRL alight, but together it's not working at all. But Hayne is back, which I know people will roll their eyes, but that team, you know, didn't do any better when he was out, so maybe that gives them some
talented role.
Yeah, Takarangi in there, but you know, Bevan French out as well, so they're struggling too, and they're both sides will be desperate. But I tell you what, the only team I could play in this game would be the Eels at home. I just think these two sides are both two of the weakest in the NRL right now, combination of confidence and also personnel that they're able to put on the park. But you're getting a bunch of points with the Eels. And I know that it's easy to dismiss them and say that they are terrible, but they played against a very strong Raiders side. Nothing went their way, and they kept them to 18. They did fight hard in a couple of other their losses. Even, you know, the Tigers game where they fought back, the Sharks game, they kept them to one try, but they did lose. So the effort is there. It will turn around at some point. We want to be on them when it does.
Yeah, I don't mind the Eels this week as well. I think the line's probably a touch too high, but I don't think there's any harm in waiting because the public's not jumping out of trees to bet on the Eels. Let's not forget, I mean, they went down to Raiders and they lost by 16 points. They didn't score a try. But that is a tough place to play. Canberra is generally one of the strongest home fields in the comp. And that's a Raiders team that was coming off 4 straight losses and then a win, brimming with confidence. It's a tough place to go down there. And then the week before, they lost to the Panthers, who are rolling by a try. So the Eels have been playing some pretty decent footy. The Sea Eagles, on the other hand, dreadful performance last week. And I actually do think the Sea Eagles are much better at home than away. I think I saw a stat last year that the Sea Eagles at Brookie, the home away disparity for the Sea Eagles was greater than any other team in the comp. So they've had 2 home games this year. They've won one. They've had 4 away games. They've lost 3 of them. So I actually do like the Eels. I'm going to run this one by you, mate. I do like taking this one when the line is fairly small. We can get the Eels winning at halftime or full-time on Crown. That's $1.95. It's probably a pretty solid play, I think.
Let's take the Eels winning at halftime or full time. That's in half markets on Crown.
$1.95.
I've got one as well. Similar one to that I mentioned for a couple of other games. You didn't say whether you want to take this for Tigers, so I'll let you decide on that one. But Manly to not score 3 unanswered tries. That is also paying $1.90 on 365. So you find that in your team markets, I believe, on 365. And I'd definitely take that. And yes, I would probably take +4. I've seen +3.5 in places, but we don't know which way that one's going to move, whether you may even get a 4.5. And it'd be remiss of us to not mention revenge factor. Of course, the two teams only played about a month ago, and it was one of the most humiliating losses, really, in the recent memory for that club. And that's saying something, because that club has suffered some humiliation. But that was, Manly went in dry on that Sunday afternoon. And now Eels are at home, and Manly's reeling a little bit. And, that's why I feel like they're not going to let them have anything easy. And I don't know who's going to win the game, but I know I like catching a few points. And I know that I like the Eels to show up for that one.
Well, Jared Haynes been involved in the last 2 54-0 defeats in the NRL, so he doesn't want to make that 3 in a row. But let's take Tigers no one answered 3 as well for the Tigers Knights game. That's on 365 as well. And rounding out round 7, we've got the Sharkies hosting the Panthers. The Sharkies are +6 points and 40.5 the total.
Yeah, and they did get decimated by injury. And what you could have done, the smart thing to probably do straight after or during that Friday night game when they lost Fifita. Well, it was said that he did his ACL, was out for the season. Now,
yeah, I know.
Different story, but Fifita did his knee, Gal did his knee, Luke Lewis got a cork, and Wade Graham did his hammy. That's on top of arguably their best forward this season on form, Bakoya already being out. And, I wanted to talk about cluster injuries. When a team gets a lot of injuries at one position, it shows up even worse than if it is just one guy. Like Brisbane lost Matt Gillette, international forward, but Alex Glenn didn't play the previous week. He came back into the team. You don't notice the drop-off that much. Nathan Cleary, one of the gun halves of the comp, he's out. But Maloney has taken so much of that responsibility. But you tell me what, if Maloney and Cleary were both out, how many sides could this Penrith team beat? Like, when you get a lot of injuries in one position, and that's the Sharks' entire back row that's injured right now, that causes big problems. But having said that, the scans came back saying Fifita's knee is not that bad. He's named to play, as is Luke Lewis. If you bet on the Sharks, I would not be 100% confident whether they actually both do take the field. But, they are named to play, so I don't want to go against Cronulla either. And Cronulla's at home catching a decent number of points. Still got a decent back line. The Panthers lost Mansour, and they've got a couple other guys out. They've quietly kept going about their business, and no one's really noticed. So to me, this line should be under 6. The fact that it is 6 means the only one team I could play would be the Sharkies.
Oh, it's so grim. We say this every week. We play numbers, not teams, and we have to play the Sharks. It pains me. I know they've got cluster injuries. They are decimated, but the line is too high. The 6 is just too high. They're at home. I think they're going to bring it. You got injured player theory as well. I think the other players will lift despite how decimated they are. You said in previous weeks the Panthers have been, quietly losing some players as well. And I agree. And they've been they just keep winning. And that's when people kind of forget that those players even mattered. And then they start to not have too much effect on the line. We've got the Sharks coming off, I think, a little bit of a phony or, misleading final score, 40-20. I think that game was much closer than it seems. And punters, your average punter that maybe didn't watch the game and just saw the box score will say, oh, shit, Sharkies got demolished. And they didn't. So I do like the Sharks. It's probably another one of those ones where we should take Panthers no 3 unanswered tries on 365. That's probably not a bad one. And I know the line's a little bit higher than the other ones, but I do think at home the Sharks really come out firing. And it's another one where we can get the Sharks to be winning at halftime or full-time as well on Crown Bet.
Let's not lock those ones in. There was actually a comment saying Fifita won't play, and I've kind of gotten that sense too. And, the way you look at it is like, okay, he's named right now, and the line is kind of reflecting him playing right now. If you bet on it, you've only got downside then if he gets withdrawn. Whereas if you wait, and then closer to kickoff it's confirmed he's in, then you can at least feel a bit more confident. because Fifita is important to this side when, as we said, we're missing other international forwards from this team. And then if he scratched, the line's going to go even higher, then you can make your decision. And yeah, they lost that game by 20 points for three reasons. They blew opportunities and the bunker absolutely fucking robbed them of one try that would have cut it back to four in the second half. They lost that game because they lost four of their starting forwards. And they lost that game because they let in a couple of the most embarrassing tries any team has let in this season. They let Dufty run sideways for 50 metres and then just jag in. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that team has pride. The team won the comp 2 years ago. They're playing at home, and Flano will demand a bit more out of his team than that. And that's why I think if we do take Cronulla, we get a good effort out of them. Whereas Panthers, yeah, as you said, they haven't had to play anybody who's really playing good footy in the last few weeks. So they've been ticking along with wins, but how good are they really? You mentioned injuries. So guys like McKendry, Tim Brown, they lost Cleary. Wonga Blake is a gun outside back. Now you lose Man. No one's really noticing because they keep winning. They might notice on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sorry. Just had a bit of ice in the drink there. That will do it for this week, guys. So, do we want to run through all the bets that we've given out on the pod? Did you have them circled or not?
Yes. Okay, I think I captured most of them. I might have got carried away. So, I don't know what you've written down, but I'll read out everything I've got. And then please just add to it if I miss one. Or anyone can comment if we've named a best bet. Because we try our best, but we are still amateurs at the end of the day. All right. So we will take the Roosters -5.5 on Thursday night. That was on Ladbrokes.
Yes.
Then we've got Storm Broncos. Is that the next game? Yeah, because we're not taking any early plays on Warriors Dragons. So we're taking the straight up to win the first half in a two-way market on Crown, which means if they win the first half, we win. And if it's tied at halftime, we get our money back. We can only lose that if they lose the first half. We'll also just take Storm -3.5. That's widely available. And Bo's mechanical under 7 tries. So this is to get the match under 7 tries. If there's 6, we win. If there's 7, money back. And if there's 8, we lose. And what you need to do, correct me if I'm wrong, you need to put 40% of a stake on 6.5 tries, under 6.5 tries on Sportsbet, and 60% stake on under 7.5 tries on Sportsbet.
Sneaky.
Then we're taking no try first 8 minutes on Ladbrokes as well. You want me to keep rolling with what I've got here? Yep. We'll take the Rabbitohs to not score 3 unanswered tries on 365. We will take the Raiders +2.5 points in the first half on Crown Bet. We will take that match under 45.5 on Willie and under 22 points in the first half. I think some comments verified that the 22.5 was the line total double.
Yep.
22 is still good enough for us in the first half. In the Raiders-Bunnies game, we will take the Tigers to not score 3 unanswered tries. They win games with defense, and I'm looking for the Knights to play a bit more like that game against Brisbane, where they held them to just a couple of tries there. So, no, the Tigers will not score 3 unanswered tries. That's on 365. Let's also take Manly will not score 3 unanswered tries on 365 as well.
Want to take the Cows -4.5?
Definitely. We take the Cows -4.5 as well. I've got that. We take the Eels to be winning at halftime or full time on Crown Bet, $1.95. Maybe we don't have to pull the trigger on +4. If I could get a +2.5 first half on the Eels, if there's any Saints out there that can find that and comment that, we will take that right now too. And that's going to get us cooking. That's going to get us started for a great bounce back round. Because I think we only lost 2 or 3 rounds out of 26 last season, and we've already lost 2 out of 6 this season. Still well ahead of the game with a 57% winning clip, but we never like to have a losing round. So, yeah, it's back to the grindstone this weekend, and the plays will all be out tomorrow morning on our website, which is tripodbetting.com, Instagram, which is tripod_betting, same as Twitter, and in our group, which you can get by messaging our page, Punters Pod.
Yep, and that'll do it for this week, guys. So, like Jacob said, join the group. That's where you'll get all the tips pretty much straight away. If you do want to get on our email list as well, you can go to tripodbetting.com, click the newsletter tab, type in your email, and then you'll get the bets sent to you to your email every week as well, every Thursday morning. But, that'll pretty much do it for this week, guys. Tune in on Sunday night as well, where we'll hopefully recap a winning round 7. And, good luck on the punt, and we will see you on Sunday night.
Catch you later.